The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
When you look into the Bible and you're searching for what is the most often given command in the Bible, you might think it would be the command to love God, or the command to love others, or the command to draw close to God. But the number one most often used command in the Bible is fear not. Fear not. Somebody counted them one time and said there are 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of the year. Why? Why does God tell us fear not more than any other single subject in the Scripture? Well, partly because fear is universal. All of us have fears. We get fearful for our children, what's happening there. We get fearful for the future. We get fearful over our spouses. We get fearful over our jobs. We get fearful over security or insecurity, finances. Everybody, I mean the most self-sufficient, meanest, orneriest, toughest bad guy among us still has fear. It's universal. So God gives us this challenge and says, fear not. Don't be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. You can trust me, God says, so fear not. Because fear is universal, and because there is good fear and bad fear, you know, it's a good fear for your child to be afraid of a hot stove. That keeps them from touching that. It's a good fear for your child to know that a car can hurt you. It keeps them out of the street. That's a good fear. A bad fear is the fear of taking risk, the fear of insecurity, the fears that do us damage. Now, when it comes to the Word of God, God tells us not to be afraid generally when He is challenging somebody to do something that is risky, something that is stepping out in faith. And that kind of a fear, the Bible says, if we don't want to do that, that is a bad fear. Because the Bible says fear keeps people from trusting God. We've been looking at saints with crooked halos. We've talked about Peter. We talked about Jonah. We talked about Eli. Talked about Mary and Martha and Mary Magdalene, Yodia and Syntyche. Today, we're going to look at one that may seem like, really on the surface, you look at him, he's a pretty good kid. His name is Timothy. After the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians in your Bible, you have the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. These are books that were written by the Apostle Paul to his young protege by the name of Timothy. Paul is Timothy's father in the ministry. Timothy was raised by his mother and his grandmother. He was raised in a home of faith. But it seems that Timothy is prone to fearfulness. He is prone to timidity. He just doesn't really want to step up and step out and be all that God wants him to be. If you read those books, 1 and 2 Timothy, you see some glimpses of this. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, Timothy, don't be ashamed to testify about the Lord Jesus. Now, Timothy is helping lead a church. And when Paul tells him this, that makes it sound like Timothy is having a little bit of trouble talking to other people about the love of God and what Jesus did on the cross, which, by the way, is a fear that most of us in this room share with Timothy. Most of us are a little bit timid and afraid to share our faith. We don't want to be ridiculed. We don't want to be mocked. We're afraid maybe that we don't have all the right answers. We're afraid we don't know enough Scripture. We're afraid that we can't convince anybody. And so we just don't talk about Jesus, you know. We don't even invite people to church because we don't know what they're going to think about us. That's a bad fear. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Don't be ashamed to testify. In verse 18 of 1 Timothy 1, he says, fight the good fight. In other words, Timothy, you're being a little quiet about this. You're just kind of standing back. I want you to get into the fight. I want you to get into the battle. In verse 19, he says, Timothy, hold on to the faith. He's saying, Timothy, don't be timid. Get out there. Get in the game. In 1 Timothy 4, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Be an example. First sermon I ever preached, that was the text I preached from. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. See, Timothy was a young pastor, and I don't know if there were some older Christians that were trying to bully him into things. I know that happens sometimes. But Paul says, Timothy, don't let them look down on you. In 2 Timothy 2, he gives us a verse that many of you know. Paul says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Timothy has a fear problem. It's getting in the way of his leadership and his sharing the faith. Not any different than you and me. These are bad fears. And Paul over and again reminds Timothy to walk in faith, not fear. Now, why is Paul dealing with Timothy and saying, walk in faith, not in fear? Because there are two mindsets, particularly in the Bible, there are two mindsets that we can move forward with. Two possibilities laid for us in the Word of God. One is a mindset of faith. You can trust God. You can trust that God's goodness and His power are sufficient for your life. You can live with a sense of relaxed confidence in God because God is trustworthy. That is a mindset of faith. If you're living with a mindset of faith, that means when challenges come into your life, you're not going to be afraid. You have faith that God will see you through. He's strong enough. You and God make a majority. You're living with a mindset of faith that God will see you through. Then the Bible says there is the mindset of fear. And the mindset of fear says, I'm on my own. I don't know if I'm capable. I don't know if I've got what it takes. What if they don't like me? What if I don't have the skills? What if I don't have the abilities? And all of a sudden, this mindset of fear becomes overwhelming. And that is a bad fear. That's what God warns against in His Word. Over and over again in the Bible, you see these two different kinds of attitudes, these mental attitudes toward life. Go over to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13, and the Bible says that Moses sent 12 scouts into the promised land. And these scouts go into the promised land, they look at the land, they look at the fruit of the land, they see the people of the land, and they see the enemies in the land. They come back, 10 of the 12 say, we can't do this. Yes, it's a good land. Yes, it's flowing with milk and honey, but the enemy is too big. We can't take it. Joshua and Caleb, the minority report said, they went to the same land, saw the same enemy, the same sweet milk and honey, and they said, we need to go in and possess this land. Our God is well able to see us through. They trusted God. Same situation, same circumstance, nothing different. You see, sometimes we feel like it's the circumstance that decides whether we're going to be fearful or not. And if it's a very intimidating circumstance, we don't have any choice. No, it's not the circumstance. Circumstances have a way of making us face the fear, but circumstances don't demand fear. You go a little bit later, the Bible in 1 Samuel. You'll see where David was packing up some supplies to take his brothers. His brothers were in the army, and they were out fighting the Philistines. And David comes upon the Philistines, and he's got a sack lunch for his brothers and some things they needed. But when he comes in, he sees this giant of a man, this great champion of the Philistines, whose name is Goliath. He is a character right out of the World Wrestling Federation or something. I mean, man, he is a champion. And he goes into the valley, and day after day, he mocks God. He blasphemes God. He humiliates and makes fun of the army of Israel, challenges them, and nobody makes a move. They're terrified. Even King Saul will not go face him. The army of Israel looks at Goliath and says, man, he is too big to hit. David looks at him and says, he's too big to miss. And he takes his slingshot, and he takes his five smooth stones, and he does him in. Same battle, same valley, same giant. What made the difference? The mindset. The mindset of David was a mindset of faith. The mindset of the army was a mindset of fear. And that always, for the believer, involves the question, can God be trusted? Is God able? Am I going to trust that the God whom I have placed my life in His hands, that He is able and can be trusted to see me through? Now, when you look into the Scriptures, you see two or three things here that are really relevant to this. And what we need to understand is our reaction to the circumstances. You'll see that. That's point number one on your listening notes there. And when it comes to our reaction, here's what happens. And it happened in each of those instances we just talked about. Happened with Timothy. God put Timothy in a church and said, now, don't let anybody despise your youth. And he stands back and he sees, is Timothy going to be afraid? He puts Timothy in a witnessing situation and he steps back. Is Timothy going to walk by faith or fear? He gives Timothy gifts and he says, Timothy, fight the good fight. He challenges him, fight the good fight. I'm here with you. And then he stands back and Timothy has to make that choice. The 12 spies, they're going into the land. Why? Because God has promised them the land. He said, I'm going to give you this land. You go in there and you look at it. And then he backs up and he waits and he watches. Are you going to walk by faith? Are you going to walk by fear? Sends David into the valley of Elah to see Goliath and says, David, are you going to walk by faith? You're going to walk by fear. God still does that to you and me today. He will put a challenge in front of us. Maybe it's a challenge to witness to a friend. Maybe it's a challenge to take up a leadership position. Maybe it's a challenge to give in some way that you've not ever done before. He challenges you and then he says, you can trust me, and he steps back. He does not force himself on anyone. He steps back and says, now, are you going to walk by an attitude, a mindset of faith, or a mindset of fear? And that happens again and again and again. Why? Because it is in those circumstances, in those situations, that our faith is strengthened and our trust in God grows. If you are able to do everything in your life, you don't need God. So he brings these scenarios to us, and he wants to know, what is your reaction going to be? Now, the single most determining thing of deciding whether you will walk by faith or fear is caught up in one word, perspective. It is your perspective. Somebody sent me a letter about a young girl that was in college. And the whole purpose of the letter is to put things into perspective. She wrote a letter to her mom and dad. It says, Dear Mom and Dad, I have so much to tell you. We had a fire that was set off by student riots, and I had to move out of the dormitory. But in moving out of the dormitory, they discovered that I had lung damage, and they had to send me to the hospital. While I was in the hospital, I met this orderly, and he was so nice that I moved in to live with him when I got out of the hospital. Then we discovered that I was pregnant, and he lost his job. So we have moved to Alaska, and we plan to get married after the baby is born. Your loving daughter. Now, can you imagine getting that letter? At the end is this little P.S. that says, none of that really happened, but I did flunk my chemistry class, and I wanted you to keep it in perspective. Smart girl. It could have been so much worse, Mom and Dad. We've got to keep things in perspective. Now, listen to me. Let me recap this. The single most common command in the Bible is don't live in fear. Trust God. Live with a mindset of faith. Don't live in a mindset of fear. Why? Why does God make that the most oft-repeated command in the Bible? Why? Well, there are some reasons. There are some reasons that you and I need to spend a little time on this morning answering, why does God tell us to fear not? Now, keep in mind the scenario. God asks someone to take an adventuresome risk. God says, I want you to live on an adventure. And we look at it and think, well, I can't do that. I'm not capable of that. That's not going to happen. I can't pull that off. And God says, trust me. I would not lead you there if I wasn't going to provide for you. Where God guides, God provides. I wouldn't take you. I wouldn't ask you to do this if I wasn't there and going to have your back. And then he steps back and says, are they going to live by faith or are they going to live by fear? Why does God do that? Well, I think the number one factor is because fear keeps us from living that risky, obedient followership with God. It's fear. We're afraid to follow him because we don't know if we can trust him. But I want to show you why you need to live with faith instead of fear. I want to make sure that you are absolutely clear on the cost personally if you choose to live by fear. This morning, I want you to learn whatever you need to learn. I want you to do whatever you need to do in order to live by faith when God says to you, let's go on an adventure. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to step out, step up, and walk forward and take the risk. So what does it cost if I choose to live in fear? What's so bad about living in fear? Well, they're on your listening notes there. Number one, living with a mindset of fear is going to eat away at your sense of self-worth. What do I mean? Basically, I mean every time that you face a challenge and you don't step up, every time you face a challenge but you wimp out, you start saying things like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I have this in me. I'm not sure about this. What happens with this? What happens then? Do I have the ability? Do I have the talent? Do I have the... on and on and on. I'm telling you, every time you do that, every time you avoid facing your fear, evade your fear, mark it down. When you do that, you are killing your self-worth because you're saying, I can't do it. I can't, I can't, I can't. And when you say, I can't or I won't often enough, you begin to be known as a person who just never faces their fear. It erodes your self-worth. On the other hand, every time you step up to the plate when nobody else will, every time you face your fear and decide you're going to do it, and you see it through, even if it doesn't work out perfectly, even if it's not the best of the best, when you step up there and you step out and you get in the batter's box and you take a swing, even behavioralists will tell you, there is a surge of confidence. There is a surge of pride, not in a bad way. The pride that says, I faced it. I faced my fear. That happens, and the self-worth is just built up. You're stronger. I guarantee you that when you're in a situation that creates you some anxiety and fear, and you face it head on, you're gonna feel a rush of satisfaction that you don't get anywhere else. You know, I remember years ago, my staff bought me for my birthday a skydiving experience. Now, I questioned that and the motive behind it. Checked the strings of the parachute before, but, you know, I jumped in a tandem, which means that I had a guy strapped to my back. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Wherever that guy goes, you're going to go. And he told me, we were 14,000 feet up, and he told me, he said, now put your foot out on the wheel. We're in the doorway of this airplane. There's nothing wrong with this airplane. Perfectly good. And he says, put your foot out on that wheel. Well, to put my foot on the wheel, I'm looking 14,000 feet down. And finally, he got tired of waiting, and I just about got my foot there, and he just pushed me. And we went. And after I got through screaming, and he pulled that parachute, and it got quiet, and we floated down, a perfect landing. I thought, yes, I am the man. I have skydived. That's that sense of rush. And it builds your, I mean, when I was coming home from skydiving, I was already planning my next escapade. What am I going to do next? Maybe I'll go bungee jump off one of these bridges or something. I never have done that. But at that point, I had the confidence to do it. Why? Because your confidence surges when you face the hard things. Something inside of you grows stronger. But when you wimp out, when you refuse to take the difficult step, you die a little bit on the inside. And if you do that enough, folks, it becomes a pattern. And you become someone who can't cope with life, who can't cope with the great challenges. If you face it with faith, there is an inner core and a strength and a reserve and a firmness inside of you that instead of experiencing fear, you walk by faith. Living in fear will erode your self-worth. Now, let me tell you why that's important. Because the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you have a low self-worth and a low self-esteem and you're always on yourself, you don't love yourself. You can't love the people around you. The second thing the Bible says, if you face the future with fear instead of with faith, it will cause stagnation instead of growth. Now, this one just kind of goes without saying. If you live in fear, you're never going to experience your potential. If you live in fear, you're never going to experience all that God made you to be, because living with faith involves a risk, and risk involves fear. If you have an opportunity to do something and you believe you could do it, but you're afraid, then you're just going to stagnate yourself. You're going to end up living in the waiting room of life, stagnant, because you didn't step out in faith. And when you sit in the waiting room, instead of getting help, instead of getting any better, you're just sitting in the waiting room. Your heart's going to shrink. Your potential is going to shrink. And that is too high a price for you to pay. God put you here to accomplish something. And it wasn't just to settle with mediocrity. And by the way, not only here do you stagnate, you lose your joy. Have you ever known a joyful, fearful person? You haven't, because they're mutually exclusive. Either fear drives the joy out of your life, or joy drives the fear out of your life. Don't stagnate. Don't be stagnant. Because all of a sudden, you're not being what God has called. Can you imagine if David had not stepped up, but spent his life wondering, and I'll talk a little bit more about this, spent his life wondering what might have happened? You don't want to stunt your growth. The third thing, living with a mindset of fear leads to a mountain of regret. You have these regrets. Folks, time flies. And those of you who are older than me know better than I do, but I know better than those of you younger than me. I don't know how I got to be the age I am. I don't know where 31 years went. I honestly don't. I was 34 years. You've heard me say it. And I say it a lot these days because it just, I marvel at it. I was 34 when I came to be your pastor. And I was 65 last month. Where did it go? And it's just going to keep accelerating. I think it's on the downward slope. And man, the train is picking up speed. But here's what I don't want. And I'm so grateful that God brought me here. And I'm grateful for the adventure we've had and the risks we've taken. And by the way, we're taking another one with this new building. If you'd have asked me 4 years ago when we're going to have a children's building, I would have said, whenever your new pastor gets here. Because I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to build another building. And here we are building another building. You have to understand, I don't want to get to the end of my life and have regrets. Man, I wish we'd have done that sooner. I wish we'd have done that quicker. I don't want to get to the end of my life and ask myself, what if? You know, we've said the scenario, God calls people to trust him. Can you imagine Abraham? God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I want you to trust me. I have a great adventure. Abraham, I'm going to make of you my people. You're going to be the father of my people. I'm going to make of you a great nation, and I'm going to give them a beautiful land, and I'm going to use them to influence the world, Abraham. That's what I want to do. And Abraham says, yes, yes. Then God says, however, that means you have to leave your country. Abraham says, go where? God says, well, I'll tell you later. I just want you to go. You just start walking, and I'll tell you where you're going to go. See what God just did? He invited Abraham on an adventure, and he said, you can trust me. And then God backs up and says, okay, now what are you going to do? Remember Moses? Moses had grown up in the palace of Egypt. Then he killed that Egyptian and had to go on the run. He's on the backside of the desert taking care of a few sheep. He sees a burning bush. He goes over to the burning bush, and God speaks to him and says, Moses, I want to use you. My children are captives in Egypt. So Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh. And I want you to tell him, I said to let my people go. And oh, Moses, you talk about fear. He says, oh God, I can't speak. And then he says, God, who will I say sent me? And God keeps saying to Moses, see, God understands our fear, but when we go back to him, he reassures us. God says to Moses, you can trust me, you can trust me, you can trust me. And finally, oh, Moses does it. He goes to the palace and he says to Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh said, no. Moses went back to God and said, he said, no. God says, okay, go tell him he's going to have frogs in his bed for till he says yes. I mean, 10 different plagues. But Moses kept going back and kept going back. Can you imagine? Just think for a moment. What if Abraham had said no and lived in Ur of the Chaldees, raised a couple of kids, maybe, probably was been child bear? Don't you think that Abraham would have reflected back and said, I wonder what would have happened if I said yes? Or Moses, having seen that burning bush, if he had turned aside and said, no, I'm happy back over here. I ran from Pharaoh once. I don't want to go see him again. Oh, Moses at the end of his life would have been saying, I wonder what would have happened? What would have been the result? You see, that's too high a cost. I don't want you to live there. You know, I don't want you to be in that situation. I don't want your self-worth to be in the toilet. I want you to grow and reach your potential. And I don't want you at the end of your life wondering what in the world is going on. By the way, when I think about this with Shadow Hills and I think about that children's building, I think, oh my goodness, you know, that's a $5 million building, and we're going to build that building. April the 13th is groundbreaking for that building. April the 13th, that's a Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, hottest part of the day, at which we set on purpose because we don't want to be out there very long, okay? We're going to turn some dirt and sing hallelujah and go eat something. So you plan to be here. And then from that Sunday, August the 13th, to the end of September, the first week of July, is the Capital Funds Program. That's what we're going to say. Will you give over and above your regular giving to help us build that building? Building is $5 million. We need to pay for $3 or $4 million of that instead of borrow money. It'd be much, much better for us. You know, we can be free then to spend the money that God gives us to do his work and fill that building. And that's going to bring some great changes, by the way. Staff has already talked about it, that it's going to look different. We're entering a new age. That building will hold 600, 700 children at one time. I'll probably hold 400 at one time. We use it three times. 1,200 children on this campus, we're going to have to do some things differently. But we're going to do that, and we're going to see God reach people like never before, because we're not going to walk by fear. We'll walk by faith. The last thing I would tell you is that living with a mindset of fear is contagious. It affects the people around you. Let me talk just a moment, mom and dad. Mom and dad, if you live with an attitude of fear, you let it go unchecked. God leads you and says, well, you need to do this. And you say, I don't think so. Well, you need to do this. No, I don't think so. You need to give this. Well, no, I don't think so. When you refuse to walk in faith and live the adventure with God, you're teaching your children. You're the number one teacher of your children about the faith in the Word of God. And every time you back up from something God challenges you to do, you're teaching your children to do the same thing. And rather than raise a generation of children who are filled with faith and courage and stepping up to the plate, we would raise a generation that if we don't get our grip on this, the kids are going to learn from us and they're going to go through their lives with anxiety and fear because they don't think they can handle it. They don't have to. God can. Now, there's one more thing here, and that is the response to our need. You know, God gives us an adventure, and He promises that He'll be with us, and He steps back and waits for us to make the choice. But again and again in the Bible, when God uses this mandate, don't fear, He tells us what He'll do. I didn't put the reference in your listening notes, but if you want to write them down, Isaiah 35, verse 4. It says, say to those with fearful hearts. Now, in Isaiah, the people were afraid. They were disobedient, living in captivity. And Isaiah says, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Now, there's the mandate. Be strong, do not fear. What's the promise that comes with it? Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Don't be afraid. God will come and He will save you. That's the first one. Joshua 1. God says to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. There's the mandate. What's the promise? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. There's the promise right there. And then it says, whom shall I fear? I don't have to fear because God is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. Psalm 115, verse 11, you who fear Him, trust in the Lord. He is your help and shield. See, God says, let's go on the adventure. I've got your back. I will be your help and your shield. I will be the one that is your stronghold. I will be with you wherever you go. I will come and save you. But you got to trust me. You trust me. Folks, let me tell you something. There is not anything, not a loss, not a failure, not a rejection, not loneliness or cancer or sickness, not even death itself. There is nothing that has the power to separate you from the love and care of our Heavenly Father. He will care for you in this world and in the world to come. And if you could get a hold of that truth, it would change your life. One of the greatest I can handle it statements comes from the Apostle Paul. It's in the book of Philippians. Now, you've got to understand that for the Apostle Paul, think about living this kind of life. Number one, he's isolated from his friends. He is in prison. He is not only isolated from his friends, he is in a strange country. Not only is he in a strange country, he has enemies that are spreading lies about him. He has been arrested on bogus charges. He has been physically beaten and he is spending his time in jail. He doesn't know if he will ever get out of jail, and he knows that he might die and it could be as soon as tomorrow. Imagine yourself in that circumstance, away from your friends, isolated, in jail, having been beaten. People spreading lies about you, arrested on bogus charges, knowing you might die. What does Paul say? I can handle anything through Christ who gives me strength. Man, I can handle anything through Christ who gives me strength. I don't know if you've seen the commercial that I've seen on television about this little bear cub. This little bear cub, when he stands up on his hind legs, he's probably about that tall. And his growl is kind of squeaky. And he's out kind of minding his own business. And he catches the eye of a puma. that is watching him and stalking him. And this puma is kind of crouched down, walking through the high grass. And that little bear sees him. And man, he squeaks and he gets down on all fours and off he runs. And that puma begins to chase him. And that little bear cub, he doesn't have sense enough just to keep running. He'll run for a while. Then he'll stop and look, and there's that puma coming after him. He takes off again. Man, he runs through the weeds, and he runs through the rocks. He tumbles over a little bit. He runs through the water. Finally runs up onto a log, and he can't run anymore. And he's trying to turn around on that log, and that puma's coming up at him. And he falls off of the log into the water. And it's in the rapids, and now he's trying to hold on to some log where he can get out. And he flows down the river. Well, the puma just goes down the log, goes down the bank, and he's waiting for that little bear. And finally, that little bear hits some shallow water, and he begins to back up on the rocks, and that puma is right in his face and slaps at him with those claws, and that little bear's got blood running down his nose. And that makes the little bear mad. So he rears up on his hind feet and puts his hands in there, and he starts growling at that puma. And it sounds kind of like, and that goes on for a few seconds, and all of a sudden that puma turns around and walks away. And that little bear is feeling pretty good about himself. What he doesn't see is what the camera shows us. Behind him, Mama Bear is standing about 12 feet tall. And she is growling like you can't believe, but that little bear can't hear it because he's making enough noise on his own to drown her out. What I want you to know is that's God's word to you. You don't have to have, he's got your back. When you decide that you will walk by faith and not fear, but that's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray.